No matter how many fairy tales I read or how many stories that I've had read to me, sometimes just coming back to the classics, to the authors that have always been there for you. To me, some of my favorite writings have always been by Hans Christian Andersen. I don't know if it's because my grandmother gave me a big book of it growing up, and so I can just remember sitting in my bed at like 3 o'clock in the morning, the sheet over my head, the flashlight in hand, just reading his words over and over again. That just brings a nostalgic feel to me. Or no, it's probably that. It's probably the nostalgic feeling and the remembrance of receiving that gift and just reading it. And it's just something about it. I just come back to him and just love to read him whenever I'm having a down moment or whenever I'm just sad. I just like to read it. And it's the nostalgic and the remembering of it as a kid. And I hope, dear listener, that you enjoy him as well. Because I know I do. So today, for your listening pleasure, I present to you The Wicked Prince by Hans Christian Andersen, read by Jennifer Haskell. There lived, once upon a time, a wicked prince whose heart and mind were set upon conquering all the countries of the world. And on frightening the people, he devastated their countries with fire and sword, and his soldiers trod down the crops in the field and destroyed the peasant huts by fire, so that the flames licked the green leaves off the branches, and the fruit hung dried on the single singed black trees. Many a poor mother fled, her naked baby in arms, behind the still smoking walls of her cottage, but also there are soldiers that followed her. And when they found her, she served as new nourishment to their diabolical enjoyments. Demons could not possibly have done worse things than these soldiers. The prince was of the opinion that all was right, and that it was only the natural course of which things ought to take place. His power increased day by day, and his name was feared by all, and his fortune favored his deeds. He brought enormous wealth home from these conquered towns, and gradually accumulated in his residence riches which could be nowhere equaled. He erected magnificent palaces, churches, and halls, and all who saw these splendid buildings and great treasures exclaimed admiringly, "What a mighty prince!" But they did not know that what endless miseries he had brought upon these other countries, nor did they hear of the sights and the lamentations which rose up from the debris of these destroyed cities. The prince often looked with delight upon his gold and his magnificent effigies, and thought like the crowd, "What a mighty prince! But I must have more, much more. No power on earth could equal mine, far less have it exceeded." He made war with all of his neighbors and defeated them. He conquered kings, were chained up with golden fetters to his chariots when he drove through the streets of their cities, now his. These kings had to kneel at his and his courtiers' feet when they sat at the table, and live only on the morsels which they left to them. At last, the prince had his own statue erected on the public places and fixed on royal palaces. Nay, he even wished it to be placed in churches on the altars. But in this, the priest opposed him, saying, "Prince, you are mighty indeed, but God's power is much greater than yours. We dare not obey your orders." "Well," said the prince, "then I shall conquer God too." In his hotness and foolish presumption, he ordered a magnificent ship to be constructed, with which he shall sail through the air. It was gorgeously fitted with many colors, like the tail of a peacock. It was covered with thousands of eyes, but each eye was the barrel of a gun. The prince sat at the center of the ship, and had only to touch the spring in order to make thousands of bullets fly out in all directions, while the guns were at once loaded again. Hundreds of eagles were attached to the ship, and it rose with the swiftness of an arrow up and up towards the sun. The earth was soon far below, and it looked like mountains and woods were just like the cornfields where the plow had made its furrows, which separated green meadows. Soon it only looked like a map with indistinct lines upon it, and at last the entirety disappeared within the mist and clouds. Higher and higher he rose, the eagles into the air, and then God sent one of his numerous angels to the ship. The wicked prince showered thousands upon thousands of bullets at him. They rebounded from him off of his shining wings and fell down just like ordinary hailstones. One drop of blood, one single drop, came out of the white feathers of the angel's wings and fell upon the ship at which the prince sat and burned into it. The weight a thousand of hundreds of thousands of pounds, dragging it rapidly down to earth. The strong winds of the eagles gave way. The wind roared around the prince's head and the clouds. They were formed by smoke rising from the burnt spitties, taking strange shapes like crabs along many, many miles, which stretched their claws out after him and rose up like enormous rocks from which rolling masses dashed down and became fire-spitting dragons. The prince was lying half dead in his ship when it sank at last with a terrible shook of its branches of the large tree. "I will conquer God," said the prince. "I have sworn it, and my will must be done." And then he spent 7 years constructing a wonderful ship once more to go through the air, and had darts cast from it, the hardest steel which would break the walls of heaven. And he gathered his forces and warriors from all over the countries, so many so that when they were placed side by side by side, they covered the space of several miles. They entered the ships, and the prince was approaching his arm, when God sent a swarm of gnats, one swarm of little gnats. They buzzed around the prince. They stung his hands. They stung his face. Angry, he drew his sword, brandished it, but only touched the air and did not hit a single gnat. Then he ordered his servants to bring one of the costly coverings to him, and they wrapped him in it so that the gnats would no longer be able to reach it. The servants carried out his order, but a single gnat had placed itself inside of the opening of these coverings, crept into the prince's ear, and stung him. That burned like fire, and poison entered into his blood. Mad with pain, he tore off the coverings and his fine clothes too, flinging them far and wide, and danced about before the eyes of his ferocious soldiers, who now mocked him as he was now a mad prince who wished to make war with God and was overcome by a single gnat. The end.